My name is Isam Al-Hadi. This interview with Dr. Zafir Al-Sabawi is being recorded at his office in Ocala, Florida. It is now 11 o'clock a.m. Saturday, July 17th, 2011. This interview is part of the Arab Immigrants Oral History Project of the University of Florida Digital Library Collection. Question. Welcome, Doctor. I would like to start this interview by asking you to give us some personal details about yourself, such as your full name, place of birth, and your educational history. Answer. My name is Zafir, spelling Z-A-F-I-R, Hamdi, spelling H-A-M-D-I, El-Sabawi, spelling E-L-S-A-B-A-W-I. I am from Gaza, spelling G-A-Z-A, in Palestine. I was born in Jeddah, in Saudi Arabia, spelling J-E-D-D-A-H. I lived in many places because of the war in that region. I also had my education in a number of places depending where we got settled at the time. For instance, I had my elementary education in Gaza, middle school in Saudi Arabia, high school and college of medicine in Cairo, Egypt. I had my medical specialty from England, and finally I ended here in the United States. Question. Were you moving with your family? Answer. Yes, I was with my family all the time. After I grew up, I got married and then moved out. Question. Where does your extended family live now? Answer. My father died. May God rest his soul in peace. My mother lives here in Melbourne, Florida, where my father used to live after he retired from his job. My own family lives here in Ocala. Question. Were the decisions of moving between Gaza, Jeddah, and Cairo, London, and America yours, or were they taken by your family? Answer. These were family decisions. They were motivated by their search for getting settled, education, and search for jobs and better income. Question. You mentioned that you had your elementary education in Gaza, and also your family is Sabawi. Does this mean that you are originally from Beersheba? Spelling P-B-E-E-R-S-H-E-B-A. Answer. Yes, Beersheba is very close. I had one of my uncles living there now. They had land there. Question. How is your relation with your extended family in Gaza and Palestine in general? Answer. It is close to none. My mother, brother, and the still living uncles are in touch with the remaining family members in Gaza. For me, I was hoping to go back and remain in touch with them, but after 9/11 events, I decided to stay away even from making phone calls or anything that will drag doubts or suspicions on me. Question. This means even traveling to Gaza became hard for you. Answer. Yes. This used to be one of my wishes to go back and see people there. Question. Does this mean you never been back since you moved out of Gaza? Answer. I have never been back except for one time when I was still young. I went there for a short period to attend my sister's wedding and then returned back. Question. Where were you at the time? Answer. In Egypt. Question. Was it when you were a college student? Answer. No, I was still a high school student. Question. That means you had your high school education in Cairo also? Answer. Yes. Question. Where in Cairo? Answer. My school was in an area called Misr al-Jadida, spelling MISRELJADEEDA. Did you go to Cairo University? Answer. No, it was Ain Shams. AINSHAMS. Question. Can you tell us about your decision of joining the School of Medicine? Was it your decision or was it a family's decision? Answer. It was a family's decision. In Palestine, wars and the consequent hard life circumstances caused a heavy pressure on people there. This motivated them to care very much about their children's education, to secure a good living and employment for themselves. I was one of those who were falling under heavy pressure that we should continue with our education, go to university and obtain a certificate. Most people preferred School of Medicine or Engineering to secure a better future. Question. After graduating from Ain Shams, did you work in Egypt? Answer. I did 1 year of training. After that, I joined two brothers of mine who are older than me and have previously moved from Saudi Arabia to England. My father used to work for many companies in England, and that allowed my brothers to go there. I went there to visit them, and while I was there, I got to know a woman who later became my first wife, who is now deceased. May God grant her soul peace and mercy. I went back to Egypt, but because of my status as a carrier of a Palestinian refugee document, the British authorities did not allow me to go back to England to see my wife. I still remember the words of the consul when she refused to give me the visa. Her words were literally, quote, "You are a homeless, stateless person, and for that reason you can't go," quote. It was a very difficult time for me. I left her office and sat outside on the curb. I cried and prayed to Allah to ease things for me, and this what has happened later on. Question: how did it become possible for you to get back to Britain and continue your education there? Answer: I managed to do that through the status of being married to a British woman. Things went smooth and finally I managed to get the visa. I went to Britain, stayed there for 3 years, and finally I obtained a British passport. Were you in London? Answer: I lived in a city north of London, in Bedfordshire. Question: so you remained there for 3 years? Answer: yes, until I got my British passport, which later became a European passport. I lived there and also had my medical training in a very good hospital called Stockman. I worked with an excellent British specialist who taught me many good things in medicine. It was hard to get my medical license that would have permitted me to practice medicine and secure stable income. During this period, my father moved to America as an investor. He obtained his residency here, which helped us to get our green cards. I left England after being there for 7 years. Question: so that means you remained in England for 7 years? Answer: not for the entire period. After I obtained my British passport, a Saudi student made some contacts with Saudi hospital, and that resulted in a job for me. When I was in England, I obtained a diploma in chest diseases from the Wales University College of Medicine. I, my wife, and 3 children moved to Mecca. Later, we had a 4th child who was born in Mecca, and we named him Abdallah, A-B-D-A-L-L-A-H. The doctor was Sudanese. I worked for 3 years in Mecca, and after that, I had to decide if I had to stay in Saudi Arabia or to move to England or another European country. Question: what about the decision of coming to America? Answer: it was part of my search to find a job in my field. I failed 3 times to pass the qualifying test to practice medicine in Britain. I tried a 4th time after I came back from Saudi Arabia, but unfortunately I failed again. At that time, my father started the green card procedures and I was called for an interview at the American Embassy. They told me that my application will be cancelled if I don't show up for the interview. That forced me eventually to move to here. Question: did you come directly to Florida? Answer: yes, my father started his investment business in Maine. Then he and a partner of his decided to move to Florida. He got settled in Melbourne, where I joined him. Question: what happened after joining him in Melbourne? Answer: I tried to do the practice test to get my license. I joined an institute in Orlando to help me prepare for this test. I passed the clinical part. During that time, my father started to feel a bit uncomfortable with the presence of my children at his house, and my wife felt the same. I had to choose between Gainesville or Miami to do the remaining part of the test. I came to Gainesville, where I obtained a job in the hospital. This kind of job didn't require a certification. I rented an apartment there where my wife and children came and joined me. Question. I am interested to know about your current field of specialty in medicine, which appears to be a rare field. Can you tell us about it and what is the term for it? Answer. There are many terms used for this field. One of them is the substitute or complementary medicine, which is more accurate. I didn't go into this field because I was interested in it. It is because I was seriously in need of a profession after failing to pass the remaining part of the qualifying test. I started doing research at the Shands Hospital under the supervision of another researcher. I kept trying to finish the remaining part of the test, and during that time, my first wife died. The situation became very hard with four children and a fifth one who was only 10 days old at the time. My concern focused on providing a living for these children. I later got to know my current wife, who accepted to marry me and take care of the five children. She was working for the VA hospital. Question. Why do you think your patients select this kind of medicine and treatment? Answer. Their unsuccessful treatment attempts through clinical medicine led them to lose trust in it. They either find their doctor to be always in a rush, or never find the result they were expecting, or never feel improved, or suffer some side effects after being subjected to multiple surgeries and operations. This has led to a state of mistrust. The fast growing number of stores of organic food and herbs here in America is another proof that people are looking for alternatives. When I failed to pass the test, I followed an advice given to me by an Egyptian doctor to join an acupuncture school in Gainesville. I joined the school, got my training, and then moved here to Ocala to start my business. Question. How long did it take you to finish the study course? Answer. 4 years, because I was doing it part-time. They have different schedules. Question. Is it a private school? Answer. It is a private school. Unfortunately, there are no public schools that offer this kind of study. That might happen in the future. Question. Do you think that patients are now more willing to use alternative medicine? Answer. This is happening in a very notable way. In my case, thanks be to God, my background in clinical medicine is helping me greatly. This makes people feel more confident in my treatment. In many cases, I will tell my patients of something that their doctors might have missed. I will tell them very politely that they should go and consult with their doctors on this issue. This makes my work complementary to the clinical doctor's work, not competitive. Question. Does it ever happen that you may refer a patient to a clinical doctor? Answer. This happens a lot. Question. Does the entire treatment take place here in the clinic? Answer. Yes, but sometimes I may respond to what we call house call. In this case, I will take some equipments with me, but it is always preferred that the treatment takes place here in the clinic. The kind of Oriental Chinese medicine requires preparing some herbs, heating them with oils, and also using air pressure cups. Therefore, it is better if the patient comes here. It is hard to go to a patient who is being treated in a hospital for liability issues. Question. Let us move on to discuss other issues in the time that is left for us with you today. I would like to know about your relation with the Arabs who are residing here in Florida. Do you think that the relationship between the Arabic and Muslim community members is built on cooperation and caring? Answer. Yes, it is generally built on mutual respect and caring. However, most people are very busy from one another. We are a new generation here and we are busy with work and providing our children's need, such as cars, a good living place, education and others. This is keeping everybody busy. It is also making their visits to each other less frequent than what it would have been like if they are living back in the Arab countries. It is also making them less connected. In addition to the competitiveness and jealousy, also the 9/11 events created a state of mistrust to the degree that you don't trust if the person you are speaking to may be a true loving friend or an agent or an associate with any other organization. Question. I would like to ask about education. From your education experience in Arabic countries, in Palestine, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt, and later here in America, how would you compare the educational system in the Arab countries with the one here in America? Which one prevails over the other? Answer. It is very hard. Question. Your kids also go to school here. This may put you in a better position to make this comparison. Answer. Although I feel that they were more serious and keen about education in the Arab countries, but their unprepared infrastructure, such as poor labs, lack of computers, and their backward technology, made their system at a lower level compared with the one here. You can find some fields where the Arab education system is strong while the American system prevails in others. This makes it hard to make a judgment as to which one is better. However, name recognition and reputation is also playing a strong role in favor of the American system. It makes a big difference for a doctor to say he is a graduate of Cairo compared to another one who says he's a graduate of Harvard. Reputation of educational institutes makes a big difference. Question: did your children go to school here? Answer: yes, some of them have already graduated. The elder one is now working in Dubai. It is also true that the one of us tries to fulfill his commitment to religion and customs. You notice that when you and Richard came in, I offered you tea. This is part of my tradition and nature. We always try to keep a feeling of belonging and love to religion and holy book. Question: is this the reason that made your son to leave America and go back to Dubai? Answer: it was rather the difficult employment situation here in America. After he graduated, he had to pay back his debt to the university. Question: what did he study? Answer: he studied business in the University of Florida. After graduation, he worked for a bookstore in the university. It was very competitive and his earnings were so little. It would have not been possible for him to pay his loan back even if he continued to work for 10 years. He went to Dubai and in 1 year he was able to pay his loan. Another benefit is that he may get married there. If this happens, then his kids will be Arabic speakers, which means that the circle of life is making another round. Question: doctor, apparently you lived your life between the West and the East. Answer: this is exactly true. Question: my question is that what did the West, either America or Europe, have given you? And what did you give to them? Answer: the West gave me a lot. It gave me a settlement and a nationality, especially for a Palestinian like me who never had a nationality certificate. You remember what I told you earlier, what the British Council had said to me. Now, I have both the British and the European nationalities and the American. God has answered my prayers when I was sitting on the curb and opened all doors for me. Question: thanks be to God. Answer: yes, it gave me a feeling of settling down and personal security, which I lacked when I was in the Arab countries. The political and economic situation and the living conditions were very unstable there. Here, things are stable. This is my feeling here, which made me think about other things, such as promoting my knowledge of academics. These are the gains that the West has given to us. From my side, I have also given back things to the West that are equal to what I have received, if not better. Here, they lack some of the traditions that the Arabs have, such as giving to people without always expecting to be paid for, or giving medical advice and consultation for no compensation. we showed them that after the events of 9/11, that we as Muslims do not accept these acts or those terrorists to be representative of our society. We offer them a service with full sincerity that does not totally depend on financial returns. Another very important thing that we have given to the West is that, in my case as a Muslim, I cannot build up my education, upbringing, and moral values, or whatever material fortune I may have, on an unrealistic and falsified foundation, or by relying on the corruption of others. I can't, for example, see 100 of my patients a day and cheat them just for the purpose of completing my unfinished house. Such good acts will be notable and sensible to them. Question. A final question that you may refrain from answering it because it is a little bit personal. This question is tied to your personal life and social experience. You got married to two ladies, a British and American. From your experience, what do you think about the Arab Muslim Western intermarriage? Again, you may choose not to answer if you want. Answer. Thanks to God, it was a good experience in my case. In some other cases, such an experience may fail. This is because it requires a person who is patient, open-minded, loyal, and willing to put more effort in it in order to make it succeed. A man should not enter into such a relation with agony and unnecessary extra dose of self-esteem. It is hard, and the possibility of failing is always there. However, if the person is prepared, it will be of great benefit to him. In my case, as a Muslim, I obey Islam, which calls for marrying from far people. As Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says, it is always better when a marriage takes place between people who are not closely related. The difficulty comes when you think about it from the point of being married to a woman who does not speak Arabic, and also when you think about the need of striking a very careful balance between her, your extended family, and your customs and traditions. In the case of my first British wife, at the beginning it was not a big issue for her to publicly hug and kiss a man that she might have known from before. It took time for her to understand and transform into my traditions. For me, I was also motivated by my desire to get a nationality, and for that reason I had to be patient. Question. Do you object to the idea that any of your children gets married here in the West? Answer. Not at all. My biggest concern is that the wife has to be a religious woman, not necessarily a Muslim. It will be fine even with a religious Christian with morals and values. Question. Thank you very much, Doctor, for this interview. We are very pleased to be here with you. I just want you to state your full name one more time in order to have it documented on tape. Answer: I will say it in the traditional Arabic way. My name is Zafir, spelling Z-A-F-I-R, Bin Hamdi, spelling B-I-N, H-A-M-D-I, Bin Khalil, B-I-N, K-H-A-L-E-E-L, Al-Sabawi, A-L-S-A-B-A-W-I. Thank you, doctor. Answer: thank you. I wish you luck. End.